Ladies and gentlemen, return your radios to their upright position. Prepare for takeoff with America's First Lady of Liberty. A voice, not left, not right, but truth-centered. Now, from the live, free, or die sovereign state of New Hampshire, raise up another rousing cheer for the Doctor of Digital Privacy. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Catherine Albrecht.
And a very happy Monday to you. Boy, it does feel like Monday, doesn't it? It is March. It's almost the end of March. And it is, believe it or not, snowing outside my window. Snowing. We're getting like 3 to 6 inches of, did I say snow? Snow. What is snow doing here? I thought spring was coming. We had one day. No, I think we had 2 days that were nice and warm. It hit 60 one day, and you would have thought it was like a Caribbean beach, everybody walking around with shorts and tank tops. It hit 70 another day, and I had a whole bunch of doctor's appointments. I was standing out there at the hospital, and I went outside, and I just stood there in the parking lot and let this warm breeze wash over me in the sunshine, and I thought, boy, I feel great. It was a wonderful thing. And then today, snow. Well, so let's add it all up. It's Monday. All right, that's a tough day to be in with. It is snowing, at least here in the state of New Hampshire. It is mud season when it isn't snowing, so it's still not quite spring. We don't have the apple blossoms out and the daffodils poking up yet, so we don't get any of that joy of spring. We just kind of have the mud. And then to top it off, we've invaded another flipping country. Come on. What is going on with the U.S. of A.? We were once the greatest nation on earth defending the people's liberty, and now we're just out there willy-nilly attacking people. We had Congressman Markey today saying that the whole purpose of the invasion of Libya, he went on national TV and said it's all about oil. We just want their oil. Is that true? Well, to help answer that question, one of my favorite guests is going to join us, is joining us now, actually, James Bovard. He's the author of 9 books, including Attention Deficit Democracy, The Bush Betrayal, and Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. My favorite part of his bio is this part. He says, Jim Bovard's writings have been publicly denounced by the following: the Chief of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, the Postmaster General, I didn't know those guys criticized anybody, the Chiefs of the U.S. International Trade Commission, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, as well as by many congressmen and other malcontents. His website is jimbovard.com. And, Jim, it's such a thrill to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, Catherine. Thanks for having me on. It's great to have you back on the air. It's great to hear you sounding so full of vim and vigor.
I'm so glad to be back. And I want to thank you for your lovely email correspondence during my recovery period there, and just for being such a bright light in my life. Now, talk to us about...
Well, I was just going to say it's really great to have you back, partly because there's stuff that you do for freedom, the stuff you've done on surveillance and privacy, the stuff you do sets the gold standard, and you manage to do it with charm and grace, which is very unusual.
Very difficult
to do, and I hope that I hope everybody appreciates that, and I hope lots of people tell you that.
Well, thank you. No, I've gotten some of the most beautiful email. You know, I've often thought when you attend a funeral and or someone dies, and then not that I intend to anytime soon, but when you see all the headlines and all the eulogies and all the beautiful statements about people, and you think, couldn't you have said any of that maybe when that person was still kind of with us? And what's been really awesome has been this last month is I was kind of flirting a little bit with some scary prognoses there.
Of course.
that I got to hear some of that stuff while I'm still alive. So thank you.
Well, and the thing that's important is it's true, which is unusual because often there's a funeral. Oh, he was the best person. Now, love children and dogs and all
that.
But it's different in your case because it's true.
Isn't that funny? Absolutely. All right. So I know you've been really busy. You've been blogging and on your website at jimbovard.com. Wall Street Journal saying that you've become the roving inspector general of the modern state. I love that. Talk to us about what's going on with this invasion of Libya. And I have to admit, for the last month, I have not been combing the headlines and reading every article in depth. So I'm going to kind of look to you to give us kind of a sort of our bellwether here. What in the world's going on?
Well, there's an old saying that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how cynical a person gets. It's not enough to keep up. And that applies on Libya because it was like 2 weeks ago, Senator Lieberman was was out there saying the U.S. should intervene and impose a no-fly zone. And I laughed because Senator Lieberman is always like a bellwether for the worst ideas in Washington. And he's always, he's always in favor of wars. But someone did a nice comment at the time he announced he would not be running for re-election because the voters in Connecticut hate him. But someone pointed out that the only war that Senator Lieberman ever opposed was the one he would have had to fight in, because he's someone who dodged the Vietnam draft.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's great.
But he's all in favor of sending American boys to die any place in the Middle East or maybe any place else. What happened was there's these uprisings throughout the Middle East. Almost all the rulers of the Middle East are bad guys. I mean, it's hard to think of any ruler in that part of the world who doesn't deserve to be either indicted or overthrown. But what's happening is that the Obama administration has taken the pretext in Libya. There was an uprising there. The government struck back, and now all of a sudden the U.S. says it cannot tolerate this. So the U.S., France, and Britain rammed through this resolution in the U.N., which really didn't mean a thing. And it's and thanks to that U.N. resolution, that supposedly makes the U.S. attacks on Libya justified and moral and a triumph of good over evil. I was rereading Shakespeare's historical plays recently, and there's an opening scene in Henry V, in which Henry V has just taken power, and his advisors come to him and tell him that they've been looking at some of these old documents and have discovered that he's entitled to be the King of France. And so the King of the Ambassador of France from France is summoned, and he's told that the French must let Henry V be king, or else the English will invade. And that's how Henry V justified invading France. Well, this is a Henry V kind of resolution which the U.S. has used to attack Libya. There was no decency to it. There was no need for it. It was simply that it's hard to tell. Part of the frustration is it would be great to have WikiLeaks right now to find out in real time what the U.S. government is actually doing, what the motivations are, who is saying what, because almost all the stuff that's coming out in public is a bunch is a crock. And if we knew what was really going on behind the scenes, I think people would be a heck of a lot more ticked off.
Mm. Now, as far as just the timeline, so Libya is, I guess, the people of Libya feeling the same frustration as the people of all the countries across the Middle East. We've got lots of uprisings and folks protesting in the streets. We've got people now in Saudi Arabia protesting against the detention of their citizens without any sort of due process or trial. We've got, obviously, countries all around the globe getting a little bit nervous. Do you think that the U.S., where does the U.S. government in its present form stand with regard to this kind of unrest that seems to be breaking out all across that region?
Well, the U.S. government is in support of protesters who are in opposition to governments that the U.S. doesn't like.
Mm.
But if it's a case of Yemen, the government of Yemen has just slaughtered protesters in the last week or so. But that's okay, because the government of Yemen is basically a stooge of the U.S. And the same for Bahrain, where the Fifth Fleet is headquartered. They've been slaughtering demonstrators there, but that's okay. So basically, there's such brazen hypocrisy. And the thing that's striking about reading what's come out so far about what drove Obama to do this, I guess there was a troika of female advisors led by Hillary Clinton, who hasn't, that's a little too crude. Hillary Clinton, who is just lusting here to use U.S. bombing to prove her own goodness or to somehow vindicate her life or whatever. So she's just championing the U.S. attack on Libya, as are some of the other top females in the administration. Whereas a lot of the older, a lot of the guys like Defense Secretary Gates was saying, well, this is a dumb idea. He said it in public a few weeks ago, and now he's kind of muttering. And it'd be great to know what he's saying, what he's writing, instead of, there's this clamp on people. So we're all supposed to pretend that it's a good idea. And yet no one has explained what the goal is. There is no justification for overthrowing the government there. And the whole idea that we're going to protect civilians by bombing the crap out of the country, well, that's a paradox.
Isn't it, though? All right. Our I'm stunned. Yes, our guest this hour, Jim Bovard. His website is jimbovard.com, jimbovard.com. If you haven't read his books, now would be a great time to order a couple of them and sit down for a fabulous read. We'll be right back with more from Jim right after this. Stay tuned. We live in a scary world, and things seem to get worse every day. Yet when you hear me on the radio, there's a spring in my step and a smile in my voice. How is that possible with all the bad news I have to plow through each day? The answer is a simple one. It's because of my relationship with God. I come to Him with my prayers, faith, and love, and He rewards me with protection, courage, and calm. He meets all my needs and opens doors for me when they need to be opened. God wants that kind of relationship with you, too. To find the comfort and security that comes from knowing the God of the universe, the loving God who made you, you can start by reading the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. Pray before you begin reading. Ask God to touch your heart and let you feel His love. The Lord wants to save you from the ravening beast nipping at all of our heels. He wants to embrace you as His beloved child and meet all of your needs. Give Him a chance to do it. Read the book of Matthew today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Reality check. There are many so-called health products coming out that are here today but will be gone tomorrow. They're fads, they're hype, and a lot of gimmick. Life Change Tea is no fad. We've been around for years and we've been slowly growing, and our products have attracted loyal customers. Why? Because our products work. Cleansing your body, losing weight, more energy, and better overall health. And you might ask, says who? Our customers say. A company shows its colors with how many people reorder the product. So don't be afraid. We're the real deal. Log on to GetTheTea.com and read all the testimonies. In fact, log on and order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. There's no call centers, just a friendly operator. 928-308-0408. Once again, 928-308-0408.
Is this a test run or are we recording?
Oh, yeah. We're back. Catherine Albrecht here. Our guest this hour, Jim Bovard. We're talking about the craziness going on in Libya. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how they're justifying this. So, Jim Bovard, help me out. I know that we Americans, we always root for the underdog, right? I mean, that's kind of a national pastime, rooting for the underdog. whether it's rooting for the Red Sox after, you know, a decades-long losing streak, or and then they come out from behind and they win the World Series. You know, we like rooting for the underdogs. In the case of Libya, it starts getting really confusing, though, because on the one hand, we're rooting for the protesters who are getting sort of, brutalized by the Gaddafi regime. And then on the other hand, now, and so you say, well, gee, we really got to kind of put a stop to the Gaddafi regime because we want to support the protesters who are the underdog trying to overthrow, a rotten government. And then the U.S. comes in and says, well, we're just going to kind of stomp on Libya and, you know, with U.N. backing. And then you kind of want to root for Libya a little bit there and say, well, wait a minute, why is the U.S. stomping on this small country that it's kind of wanted to stomp on, I think, since the 80s? So who do I root for in this whole twisted saga? I mean, help me out.
Peace. I mean, peace is the thing to root for. And part of the trouble is the U.S. is massively intervening here. And there is no reason to assume that if there is a big shakeup in that country and if Gaddafi can be toppled, there's no reason to assume that the next ruler will not also be a darn rascal. Because that's what the, it's not like there's some broad liberal democratic movement waiting to kind of suddenly rise out of nowhere there. There's going to be tribal fights. There's all kinds of very harsh elements. Some organizations in that country that have been classified as terrorist groups by the U.S. government. Whether it's accurate or not, I don't know. But there is no reason to assume that someone good is going to rise to the top.
All right. I have a question for you. I read some reports saying that Gaddafi and the Gaddafi government are arming their people, distributing 1 million firearms to regular rank-and-file members of the citizenry, men and women, indeed, both, that they're giving them guns. Now, if the people were so oppressed and so trodden upon and so eager to overthrow this horrible leader, Muammar Gaddafi, why would he be giving them guns? Wouldn't they take those guns and turn it on him and his forces?
You know, that'd be a great question to ask Hillary Clinton, or even better yet, President Obama, because there are so many elements here that are just make a complete mockery of the narrative that the Obama administration, with the help of much of the American media, is trying to construct here. Basically, what they're trying to do is turn this into a moral fairy tale, and it's the triumph of good over evil. And the folks who are being killed by the U.S. are by definition bad guys. Otherwise, the U.S. wouldn't be killing them. But that's about all the evidence they have. It's the same as the evidence we have. A lot of people that have been blown up by U.S. drones in Pakistan. The fact that they were killed proves that they were militants. It's frustrating that there's not more of a very powerful, broad-based backlash in this country against that kind of BS.
Don't you think we're feeling a little bit beat up? Because on the eve of the Iraq War, you know, a couple of weeks before that war started, maybe even a couple of days before that war started, I, along with, close to a million of my fellow American citizens, headed on a bus. I mean, I spent 12 hours in a bus, went to Washington, D.C., carried an enormous sign, bigger than I was, you know, protesting what has now turned out to be one of the stupidest wars we've ever been engaged in over there in Iraq. And I got to tell you, I came back from that trip, Jim, and I said, you know, what was the point of that? I just went. I spent 2 days out of my life, spent a whole bunch of money getting myself out there. I was hungry. I was tired, sleeping on a bus, holding a sign. And we all marched around, you know, in a neat little organized little march that they gave us a couple of streets to march on, and we did. And then when it was over, they did the war anyway. So I think the American people, it's not that we don't oppose this. I think we're getting really tired of this sort of U.S. Aggression against other countries. But I don't think we know what the heck to do about it.
Well, that's a very frustrating thing. I mean, this is a great example. This attack on Libya is a great example of Obama acting like as much of a dictator as George Bush often behaved as, because this is something that Obama is putting on his own credit card. I mean, he didn't even ask Congress. There was no national discussion. Obama, Hillary Clinton, and a couple other people said, "Well, it'd be a good idea to bomb the hell out of this government." So that's what the world sees the American people doing, and this is a good case where there's People can call it a democracy, but it's much more of an elective dictatorship. And it is as if the person who won the election in 2008 becomes entitled to bomb the rest of the world for the following 4 years.
And they become sort of a dictator using our good name and our country's good name out there in the world in a way that doesn't represent us. You know, the sign that I carried at that big protest before the Iraq War said America does not own the world. And the reason I said that, the reason I had that on the sign, and I actually got interviewed by the BBC. If somebody wants to do a start page search, they can track that article down and see me standing there holding a sign. Just look up Catherine Albrecht Iraq War protest. You'll see me there. But the reason I held that sign is I wanted to send a message to the rest of the world to say we American citizens are not being represented by our government. This is not something that we support. And I don't like the fact that when I travel to Europe or when I travel to other countries and I speak to people who travel here from other countries, they all assume that we Americans are a bunch of rah-rah rednecks who just want to go out and pick a fight with everybody. And the reality is, I'm sure if they did a poll, you know, maybe at this point people are buying the Libya rhetoric that our government's given us. But I bet if they did a poll on the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and I'm sure they have done such polls, the majority of us don't want those wars going on. So, unfortunately, in our name, these things are being done. So, again, it comes back to the same question. What in the world can we do about it?
Well, if Congress had gumption, if Congress had backbone or other parts of the anatomy, they would hold hearings and they would threaten to impeach or indict. I mean, it'd be possible if Congress could pull up and start pulling these administration officials, put them under oath, and hammer them day after day. That's the same thing that happened towards the end of the Vietnam War. And if they did that, they would expose lie after lie after lie, because there is no way the Obama story holds together for killing Libyans.
Well, and here's where this gets even crazier, right? So didn't we elect, because I'm trying to go back in time here, didn't we elect a whole landslide, we as a nation, a whole landslide of Democrats because we were so sick of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and all those guys going out there and Condoleezza Rice and all the stomping and jackboots that were being worn in our name? So then the nation elected a whole ton of Democrats, and then that didn't work. And then now we just had this whole Tea Party revolution, elected a whole bunch of Republicans, and that didn't work. So who is going to stand up for us? Who's going to actually call for those hearings? Who's actually going to make that happen? And I think until we, the people, realize that our government, our elected officials out there in government, are not representing us, and we begin holding their feet to the fire and demanding that they represent us, that nothing's going to change. We're just going to see more and more of this, and the rest of the world is going to hate us more and more as we create, you know, orphans and widows and cripples and all of the things that war is all about. So I'm totally with you, Jim Bovard. Peace is the answer. Tell us how people can find your website and learn more about what you do.
Website would be at www.jimbovard. Want to do a suspicious French name? But hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's really great to be able to vent on this, because I'm just sitting here chewing cigars and kicking old furniture.
I know. I'm in that same boat with you, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us. Lots of love to you, and we'll get you back on as things progress. All right, Jim Bovard.
Take care of yourself, Catherine.
Thank you. JimBovard.com. I love that guy. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with antiwar.com.
Extend your life.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best-tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Imagine being free of debt in just 12 weeks without payment plans or negotiating or hiring an attorney. 18 years ago, we cracked the code of debt collections and set tens of thousands of people free of their debts. It's called Zero Debt Guaranteed, and it works for all debts.
My wages were being garnished, so I used the program and the attorney dropped the case and he returned my money within 2 weeks.
With Zero Debt Guaranteed, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Call our help desk for lightning-fast assistance. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. Call Zero Debt Guaranteed now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program, 800-477-9256. Or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Beautiful. We are not alone. God is absolutely with us, and I am with you this hour. Dr. Catherine Ulbricht, delighted to be talking with you after about a month recovering from a mastectomy and getting geared up to do some chemotherapy coming up. But I am going to do my level best to be here on the air as we take a look together at all of the things that are impacting us, whether it's our health, whether it is the world situation, our political situation, our freedom, our economics. We've got enemies on every side, and I think fortunately there are lots of us who have figured things out and are really pushing for freedom and trying to get this country back on track. Well, one of them is my guest for the remainder of the hour, Eric Garris. He is the founder, managing editor, director, and webmaster of antiwar.com, a website I've been following for over 10 years now. They're devoted to the cause of non-interventionism in foreign affairs. Boy, that's a foreign concept right now in this administration and the one before and the the one before, and going back as far back as I can think. Their opposition to war is rooted in a simple concept, and here it is. War is the health of the state. Now, if you think about that for a moment, the state being the government being, I hate to say it, a bunch of people who have sought power over others and obtained it. That's really what government is. That's what politicians are, people who wanted power and actually went to some degree of effort to obtain that kind of power. And frankly, they're not the sorts of people that we should be trusting. Anyone who wants to have power over other individuals is probably the person who least should be having it. And once they get it, the way they can hang on to it is by engaging in endless wars. Wars make them rich. Wars make them more powerful. Wars make the rest of us scared. And wars put us all in a one-down position, whether it's the people engaging in the war, such as the U.S. citizenry, or whether it's the people being engaged in the war, such as currently the people of Libya, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq. Now they want to go gunning for Iran. Who knows where else they're going to be going next. All right, Eric Garris talking to us about Libya. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, and welcome back, Catherine.
Thank you. It's great to be back on the air. Hey, listen, so I know you guys have some very strong words to say about President Obama. This would be, of course, now I want you to temper your comments with the proper respect due to a man who has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, but go ahead and tell us what you think is going on right now with Obama and Libya.
Well, it's interesting that he should have won the Nobel Peace Prize, and yet he's been responsible for bombing so many people since he's taken office.
Isn't that interesting? I think the Nobel people have a different definition of peace than you and I do.
Well, apparently so, because they've given it to people like Henry Kissinger and Woodrow Wilson in the past. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So now we've got our Nobel Prize-winning ambassador of peace. And what in the heck is he doing over there in Libya right now?
Well, this is one of the quickest decisions to take major foreign intervention that we've seen in recent history. I mean, even if you look back at Iraq, there was a lot of discussion and debate prior to us going in. And Obama chose the week that Congress is out of session, didn't consult Congress, got an authorization for a no-fly zone, and took that authorization and went way beyond it. Now, today, he's talking about Gaddafi has to go. So now this is a major operation. We're talking about implementing regime change and probably nation building, which could last years and years. And here we are in another war in the Middle East.
Now, how is it that the U.S., and help me understand their way of thinking here, how is it that the U.S. justifies this idea that we can kind of go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Libya, that's the one we'll go after now, and just randomly pick a country somewhere on the globe and say, we, on the whole other side of the world, have the right to decide that the leader of that country should not be leading the country, and that we, not the people, should choose somebody else to be doing that. How do they justify that? And is that maybe some aftermath of World War II, where all Americans, I think, were saying, good, I'm glad we beat Hitler?
Well, you could say that, but I think it's just basically arrogance. I mean, I don't think that it's anything more complicated than that. To hear people, as you said in your introduction, politicians who are trying to gain power and wealth over other people using force, and that's exactly what they do on an international basis as well. And so the leaders of the U.S. have decided that Libya is the place to go. Now, on the other hand, you have Bahrain. Bahrain has a similar situation where the regime is cracking down on protesters and their opposition, and the opposition has asked the UN and the U.S. for intervention, yet we're on the side of the Bahraini government in that situation. And as Admiral Mullen explained yesterday, the difference is they're an ally.
Right. Absolutely. We're speaking this the remainder of this hour with Eric Garris. He's with antiwar.com. Nice, easy website. Easy to get to. Lots of essays If you're looking for some ammunition, forgive the pun, if you're looking for some ammunition in favor of peace, antiwar.com is a great place to find it. 1-800-259-9231 is the phone number if you'd like to open up the conversation and ask a question of our guest or ask a question about what's going on over in Libya. My email address is kma@spychips.com. KM as in Mary, A at spychips, S-P-Y-C-H-I-P-S, after our award-winning best-selling book by that name, kma@spychips.com. If you'd like to add in your 2 cents. Eric Garris, let me ask you, as far as Libya is concerned, let's say that the U.S. succeeds in its mission, what would that look like?
Well, first of all, what mission are we talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the stated mission that's got Obama over there with our troops in the first place.
Well, this is one of the most interesting things. In mission creep, for example, in Iraq, took months for them to change it from WMDs to regime change to nation building. This took a long time. This situation in Libya has been literally days where we've gone from a no-fly zone to protecting the civilians to bombing and targeting the Libyan military targets, and now the stated goal is regime change. So if you're talking about all of these things, I think you're looking at another situation like Iraq, except here we know less about the opposition that we are supposedly protecting than we did in Iraq. We really don't know who these people are. We don't know if they are pro-democracy, if they're Islamists, if they're connected to Al-Qaeda. We are just reacting without thinking. And I should say the U.S. government.
Absolutely. And Eric, you brought up two very interesting points here, that in the case of the Iraq War, which has been such a fiasco, I think, on the public relations and home front for both administrations that have been involved with that war, you said that they initially took that to Congress. This time they didn't bother, maybe because they figured, hey, when we take it to Congress, we get in a quagmire, so let's just skip that step. And let's not even bother with a pretense like looking for weapons of mass destruction. Let's go straight into the end game right out of the gate and let the opposition come now. And when it's over, then we will have already kind of stepped ahead to the end point. I mean, I personally think that's what's happening. I think they've said, let's not repeat the mistakes that happened in Iraq. Let's get the American people on board right out of the gate with the fact that we're just going to take over this country. All right, antiwar.com is the website. Eric Garris is our guest. 1-800-259-9231 is the phone number. kma@spychips.com is the email. Stay tuned.
Is it a conspiracy if it's all true?
There is no denying that we live in a surveillance society.
Homeland Security wants to ask me some questions.
The power to control and monitor every human being on the planet.
I don't know how they knew all about us.
Government will take more and more of their rights away from them.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type system.
From Cloud 10 Pictures, the producers of Left Behind the movie, Shadow Government.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
We are warned of such a global system.
The bad guy might today be Al-Qaeda, and it might tomorrow be Baptist.
The great experiment that was once America has been prostituted by special interests.
Evil exists.
All they're thinking about is, oh, government, do something, protect me, save us from all of this.
We are living in the last days.
Signed copies available at KatherineAlbrecht.com. Click on products or call 1-800-END-TIME, ENDTIME.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-cytosterol, resveratrol, and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Big brother, and believe me, he wants to take your money and use it to increase his power, not just over your life, but over the lives of people all around the globe. Our guest this hour is Eric Garris. He's the founder, managing editor, director, and webmaster of antiwar.com, along with Justin Raimondo over there. They're doing excellent work. They have been railing against all of the forms of intervention in other countries that the U.S. has been engaged in, using our men and women, using our young people, using our money, using our troops, using our resources, and putting them putting them to really bad use. If you can imagine the amount of money that is being spent just this week alone in our activities over there in Libya, what could be done with that money in this country? What could be done to alleviate the suffering, the hardship, the economic devastation, the tragedy going on in, for example, Detroit, just to name one domestic problem that's getting no attention from this administration, and yet we're spending all of this money flexing our muscle in other parts of the world, creating more enemies. You want to talk about a terrorist threat? People who have had their homes blown up, who've seen their fathers killed and their mothers widowed and have become orphans themselves, they grow up to be terrorists. They grow up to be enemies of this country and everything that we stand for. So I don't see how in any way this furthers our goals as a nation, as a people, as a people who love peace and are seeking the best outcome for ourselves and our posterity and for the people all across the globe. I have a question for you, Eric. In terms of where this is headed, Is there an end in sight, or if we are successful, and not that we have even been successful in Afghanistan or Iraq, if we were successful in this, is the U.S. just going to kind of keep going country after country till we've just taken over everything?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, as far as taking over, we have tremendous military influence around the world. We have bases in over 150 countries of the world, and some of them are not that big, but that's where we have military tripwires, essentially.
Now, as far as the expense, just kind of looking at the picture of that, we've got the expense of maintaining the quote-unquote nation building that's occurring in Iraq, and of course you wouldn't really need to build a nation if you hadn't destroyed it in the first place. So we've got nation building going on over in Iraq. We've got military activities going on in Pakistan. We've got military activities going on, obviously, in Afghanistan, which we're never going to make any headway over there. And now we're adding Libya to the mix. Do we have any idea what this is costing us as a nation?
Well, it's costing us in the neighborhood of half a trillion to $1 trillion a year for all of this type of stuff. It's very hard to measure it all because one of the problems is that most of the money that we're spending there is being borrowed, the Federal Reserve is printing this money, and we're going to have to pay the interest on this. And right now, interest on the national debt is one of the largest parts of the budget. In addition, we're going to see a lot of expenditures for taking care of veterans and other things that are going to be as a result of these activities. And these are all being pushed down the line for future payment.
Now,
we're talking about a lot of money.
Now, Ed Markey got a bit of press today because he apparently went on television and said, and I actually watched the little clip where he said this, he said it's all about oil. The reason we're in Libya is all about oil. Is that true?
I don't think that it's entirely about oil, but certainly that's a factor. I mean, there's a reason that we're in Libya and not in, say, the Ivory Coast, which is in a similar situation. You have a civil war going on where the international community has recognized one new group that was supposedly elected over the existing president, but we're not interested in that. Libya certainly has a lot more interest because of oil. It's also because it's more on the radar. It's something people know who Gaddafi is. And so it's easier to get people riled up against him because he's one of those types like Saddam Hussein that we can, demonize.
Now, I just want to help people out there in the last couple of minutes that we have. I want to help people to understand this better and maybe have some intellectual tools when they argue about Libya with people who say, oh, hooray, the U.S. is doing something over there. As I think about the amount of money and the amount of effort and the amount of coordination that's required to do what we're doing in Libya, and it's probably going to become more and more involved and more expensive. I say, what are the chances, and I just want listeners to ask themselves this question, what are the chances that as a sheer act of humanitarian benevolence, that our government, and I want you to think about this existing administration, what are the chances that as a sheer act of goodness in the world, that the U.S. would expend those kinds of resources, money, loss of life, and all of the other things that we're going to be pouring into Libya just to be nice guys? I want to throw that out there because I'll tell you, Eric, absent critical reasoning, when you turn on the television and you hear these explanations, there's a tendency to kind of go nod. Yeah, that's right. If they're killing protesters, then they ought to be invaded. And yet, I have to say, there is so much injustice happening in so many places in the world, and as an act of humanitarian goodness, the U.S. is doing nothing. In fact, Detroit is a perfect example. You can talk about things right here at home where there could be, quote-unquote, intervention at great expense and effort, and it's not occurring. So why is that happening in Libya? That's the big question. I think that's the question people need to ask themselves before they buy hook, line, and sinker, the notion that this is all about America doing what we did in World War II, and you can even go back historically and see there were big issues even with that line, the storyline we were given then. But this is not about, the U.S., it goes out there and we find guys like Stalin and guys like Hitler and guys like Mussolini and we womp on them. That's not what's happening, is it?
No, it's not. And a lot of these people can just as easily be allies as Stalin was an ally of the United States for so long.
Yeah. Well, you don't even get me going on Stalin. 60 million people that died under Stalin's regime. That's an inconceivable number of people, more people than died during the Holocaust, in the concentration camps. Stalin was the deadliest figure of the 20th century, unless you want to put Mao Zedong in there. And, of course, now China is a most favored nation trading partner without even having corrected a lot of those abuses. So, yeah, believe me, we pick nasty allies, don't we?
We do. We do. And we're just as likely to pick somebody that's evil to be our ally as to be our enemy. It's a matter of convenience.
So let me ask you this again, because I was thinking about this even with Bosnia. Now we've got Camp Bondsteel. You know, people don't even remember our military invasion in Bosnia. But again, we kind of gave a little humanitarian spin to that, put a nice little bow on it that said humanitarian mission, when in reality, that was all about controlling Eastern Europe with a massive, huge U.S. military base. In fact, at the time, I believe it was the biggest one on the globe, Camp Bondsteel, which you can even see from the moon if you were up there with with the right equipment. So what is it that we're trying to put into Libya, and strategically, why do they play such a crucial role for the U.S. that the U.S. is so eager to use any pretext to go in there?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see down the road military bases in Libya, U.S. military bases, just like we have in Iraq. And I think that Libya is a very, very well-placed country in terms of its proximity to the Middle East, to Europe, to the Mediterranean, and certainly that's some place that has been eyed for decades, if not centuries, by Western powers.
So how convenient.
Libya itself was a creation of the West after World War I, just like Iraq. They took three different essentially regions of the Ottoman Empire and decided to make a country.
All right. Well, we ought to get into some of that history. I'd love to get a historian on to talk to us about what Libya has been doing over the last couple of decades, since World War II. That would be a fascinating topic. I actually don't know that history, but I would very much like to. And I will bet you, and Eric, maybe we can make a little bet here on the air, that you're right. I will bet that you are absolutely right that at some future point there will be U.S. military bases in Libya, unless those million guns that Gaddafi has been handing out to his citizens like candy actually are able to stop that. Hey, I want to thank you, Eric Garris, for joining us. Antiwar.com is the website. You do wonderful work there, and please keep it up.
Thank you very much for having me, Catherine, and welcome back.
All right. Thanks so much. Eric Garris, antiwar.com, along with Justin Raimondo. They are a voice of reason amidst all of the insanity. And I think in the first part of this hour, when Jim Bovard said what we need to do or what we need as a nation, I think his answer was spot on. And that answer is peace. That answer is peace. So as you say your prayers this evening, I want you to please pray for peace across this entire globe. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.